Christmas, 1915, and World War I was in full force. I almost got the wars mixed up. Most people, and I think I've even spoken about the famous Christmas truce of 1914. Well, now, I don't do reruns, so I wasn't going to repeat that story. But very few people have heard of the Christmas truce of 1915. But it didn't take place in any European trenches. You'll be surprised where it took place. It happened in the jungles of German East Africa, which is now Tanzania, or what they call Tanganyika and Zanzibar. It happened in the jungle. Some of you may remember that old movie, The African Queen, with Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn. Well, it was in that same area, and it was filmed, and the movie was filmed in that area. So it was not a very, let's say, it was not air-conditioned at the time, you know. So it was a pretty brutal thing. It was the only really part of World War I that took place outside of Europe. Now, there were some battles over in the New Guinea area because the Germans had some colonies, but the big battles took place in German East Africa and the Belgian Congo. So you had German and British troops facing each other. The German general was named Paul von Vorbeck. That's a nice name, isn't it? And his opponent was British General Jan Smuts of the Union of South Africa. Both armies were within 2 miles of each other. Christmas was several days away. General Smuts sent a Zulu messenger runner to the German headquarters under a flag of truce. Now, you have to remember, chivalry was still the order of the day, even in wartime. So it was not a matter of rudeness. It was a matter of, let's do something for the holidays. And both generals, it must be remembered, were devout Christians. General von Vorbeck was a Lutheran, and Smuts was Dutch Reformed. An agreement was reached that for 2 weeks, no fighting would occur. And so both the German and British armies would meet at a neutral place near the border of Portuguese East Africa, which is Mozambique today. So it was almost an international, it was really an international Christmas truce right there in Africa. The British forces included 2,200 Europeans and 9,000 Zulus, Zulu warriors. The opposing army had 2,100 Germans and 11,000 African Askaris. According to eyewitness reports, they were unforgettable Christmas services. 4 languages were spoken at those services. Of course, they didn't all meet together because of the language differences, but the Germans and British did meet together because they had a German chaplain and they had a British chaplain, and they sort of interpreted each one. But listen to this, the other Africans had Zulu minister do it, and the other one had Swahili, Jambo Bwana. That's what they spoke. And you had a total of close to 20,000 Africans. So they were there too. And the European soldiers and African warriors celebrated and sang Yuletide hymns. They exchanged souvenirs like they did in the previous truce the year before. And different foods were given around. The British had canned beef and they gave it to the Germans. The Germans had plenty of bacon, and they gave it to the British. Chocolate and sausage were exchanged, and then gin and some schnapps. Of course, they had a lively party after that, didn't they? They pledged each other's health, and a German officer recalled, the prayers were read first in English by a British chaplain, and then in German by a German chaplain. It must have been interesting to listen to the Swahili spoken by the Maasai tribes over there in the Kikuyu from Kenya and the Zulu from South Africa. The Germans would sit on one side, the British on the other, but they were very much in what we would call in the Greek koinonia. There was a fellowship only happened because of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, the officers of both armies stood side by side the enlisted men, which is unheard of under normal circumstances. And every head was bowed during proper prayers and everything. And it was an unbelievable sight. There was not one ounce of hatred among anyone during these 2 weeks. You must remember, war places no grace in investment in grace. But for 2 weeks, there was temporary joy in that jungle encampment of German East Africa. For you see, the average soldier and officers, they don't start wars. It's the politicians. That's when we need to vote them out. And so that's what happens a lot of times. It's the unknown person that gets sent to the battlefield. The big shots stay back and sit in their offices. So that happens. And it's happened for thousands of years. It's not a new phenomenon. It goes on all the time. But there was one thing they all had in common, and that was Jesus Christ. And those soldiers had temporary joy just to commemorate this most holy of Christian holidays. It was a time for leaping with joy. Now Mary, who had gone to visit her cousin Elizabeth, sought some form of reassurance that what was going to happen was for the best. Now, you're talking about a young girl, probably no more than 14 years old. This would have been very, it would have set her world upside down. But you know, Mary had an unwavering supporter and friend in her cousin Elizabeth, who was going to give birth to her son John the Baptist. You remember her, John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, he served in the temple. It was his duty time. And that's when he had that vision of the angel come to him telling him about his son coming. And he didn't believe it. You know, the angel said, well, you're not going to speak for 9 months. He had to write everything down. And the funny thing about it, and I like this a little bit, I didn't read it, but if you read that, it said that was the talk of the hill country around Judea. Gossip, gossip, gossip. What was going on in that household of Zacharias and Elizabeth? I mean, there was a lot of serious conversation about that. So things were really sort of getting exciting there. But you know, Mary knew that her cousin would stand with her through thick and thin. And Mary was probably very insecure about expecting a child. But you know what? We don't live in a world that values vulnerability. How many times have you been called upon to do something and you really did not feel qualified to do so, but you accepted it anyway with fear and trembling? That's happened to all of us. That has happened to all of us. We've had to do things that we didn't want. And I've shared this with you. The first time I ever spoke before a big crowd, and I had spoken to small crowds first, was in a seminary classroom. And I remember it was one of those sort of elevated kind where it went way up to the ceiling, literally the seats did. And do you know what happened to me? I got up there. I didn't get stage fright, but my knees started knocking together. I thought about that little segment in the book of Daniel where that king saw the handwriting on the wall. And he said, it says in the Bible, his knees started knocking together. So I understand what knee knocking means today. So that's what happened to Mary. She was so pleased that God had chosen her. But at the same time, she was really concerned about what was going on. Because, you know, she was not married. And that was something back then that could get you into trouble. But we do know that Joseph was engaged to her, and they were, God protected them. And you know, it's amazing how for most of us, such exposure would come to mean weakness. People want to determine the course of life's events for good or bad if we are the one who called the shots. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about that? If we are the ones calling the shots, that's fine. But somebody else is, we get nervous about that. And so most of us at some point have occasionally conducted trench warfare of a sort during a disagreement with another person. Lines are drawn, our mental forces are hunkered down, and no one is willing to stand on the platform in the line of fire, unarmed, without any wits about them. No individual wants to be vulnerable. And Mary was at the most vulnerable stage of her life, because in doing so, she could have lost everything. And for us, we may lose our superiority. God has only everyone's best interest at heart and desires only to strip away what are false pretenses from people's lives and arrange the genuine and best parts. Believing that surrendering individual freedom to anyone could strengthen them rather than undermine their security is a ridiculous or an unreal leap of faith. Yet it is a leap of faith that God calls us to make sometimes. Elizabeth rejoiced with Mary upon receiving the good news, and we are called to rejoice with Mary and Elizabeth, for one reason only, because God loves us enough to act. God desires to place into our lives exactly what He had done for Mary and Elizabeth: love, peace, hope, and joy. We've all have been there. We know what it's like sometimes to think, well, my plans have altered to what they were. And you consult God about them. And you know, it turns out God had better plans than we did. Can you believe that? Our plans were not as superior as God's, but we thought they were. But God can work things out, iron those wrinkles out, where we still have difficulty with doing so. And so in this world, it takes trust for people to believe and give thanks. Real hope, the kind that isn't for sale and doesn't wear out, with real joy. It's the joy which begins deep inside. I found an old Peanuts cartoon stuffed away in one of my files recently. And it has Lucy saying that Christmas is a time for kindness and goodwill to all, a time when we accept one another, a moment to welcome others into our homes and lives. Well, guess what Charlie Brown responded with? He said, well, why just Christmas? Why can't we be kind, accepting, and hospitable all through the year? To which Lucy replied, what are you, some sort of religious fanatic? Think about that. Why can't we have kindness the year round? How many this past week have had a car horn blown at you while you were driving? I had one yesterday, in fact. I won't tell you what I called him. I didn't call him anything, but I wanted to, but I decided I better keep my cool and remember I'm a minister. But the thing about it is, a lot of times this time of year, when we should be joyful, stress runs at a fever pitch. Been in any stores this past week? You'd think the end was coming. The sky was falling like Chicken Little yelled. Is it really that bad if you can't purchase that blender or mixer or that 80-foot TV that you really would like to have in your backyard? I mean, you know, I saw a fella yesterday or someone. I mean, he had a big TV. I don't know how he was going to get it in his SUV, but it was huge. And I thought, how long will you keep it now? You know, that's the thing about it. But you know, love and peace and hope and joy, they're all the foundations for life. Now, you may never be given an exam on it, but you think of those four things, and it really encapsulates Advent. Advent leads to Christmas, and I think it prepares our hearts to know that God prepared the birth of Jesus Christ and prepared it for our benefit, not just as a whim. God knew we needed something more than animal sacrifices to redeem our souls from sin. And God provided Himself, in fact, in the form of a baby in manger in Bethlehem. Perhaps what Mary and Elizabeth have to say this Advent and Christmas season is that love, peace, hope, and joy, which the world is trying to concoct, pretend, or purchase through artificial means this December, really is a gift which is found in places that is least expected, in ways we do not believe possible. Perhaps, as happened to Mary and Elizabeth, some new glimmer of love, peace, hope, and joy will begin to grow within us, a life that can begin once more to transform us and through us to help renew spiritually this world. You know, you never know what the next 10 minutes is going to bring. We're not guaranteed the next second, are we? So live your life to the fullest and in the most positive way so that the person that you may encounter, maybe it won't be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be a year from now, knows that there is hope out there and love and peace and joy. That is what it's all about. The question is, have our lives been truly improved by this marvelous gift called Jesus Christ? Why not be transformed and leap for joy in your hearts right now? Now, you notice I didn't say leap for joy jumping from your pews. I don't want any hospitalization right now. This week, look for places of Advent. Look for places of Advent in your surroundings, wherever they may be. It may be the most incredible discovery ever in your life. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, as we have seen what happened to Mary, and she was the most blessed among women, and her cousin Elizabeth, she supported her cousin Mary in that condition. But they were two souls knit as one, and you had them together so they could support and give strength to one another. A lot of times, oh Lord, we may be called upon to help others out like that and be caring and kind to them. And we pray, oh God, that we may be available to whomever it is that we may encounter, not just this Advent season, not just through Christmastide, but through the rest of the year. We give thanks always, oh Lord, through the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.